Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? I'm Hank Wilson, and welcome to The Hidden History of Texas. This is episode 7979. Woo, that's a long time. And this one is called Central Texas Floods of the 2000s. That's right. We're going to talk about three major floods that occurred in this century, the 2000s. And we're going to start off in 2002. It's the what we call the Central Texas floods. Now, every one of these floods I have actually lived through, I've experienced. So let me tell you, it may sound romantic and all that kind of stuff. They're not. You see, the summer of 2002 brought storm after storm, and it pounded San Antonio and the Hill Country with relentless rain. By July, creeks had swollen into rivers, and all the cities, especially San Antonio, their flood control systems groaned under the pressure. Cars floated down highways, neighborhoods were cut off, and families had to be rescued from rooftops in San Antonio's South Side. I actually lived in the South Side back in the 80s, so I can tell you that floods a lot there. San Antonio International Airport recorded a staggering 9.5 inches of rain on July 1st alone, and that, of course, set a new record for the month. Now, over the next week, rainfall totals in several counties reached between 25 and 35 inches, leading to widespread flash flooding. The Guadalupe and Blanco rivers swelled way beyond their banks, and that inundated communities and caused significant damage. Floodwaters claimed 12 lives, damaged approximately 48,000 homes, and resulted in an estimated $1 billion in damages. 24 counties, that's right, 24 counties were declared federal disaster areas. In Canyon Lake, the deluge was particularly severe. 30 inches of rain fell upstream, causing the lake's water level to rise rapidly. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers reported that the lake's spillway prevented flows of up to 125,000 cubic feet per second from heading into New Braunfels, and that potentially saved millions of dollars in damages. Now, dozens of counties were declared disaster areas, with billions in damage across Central Texas, as I said. Now, though not nearly as deadly as some floods of the past, the 2002 storms proved how quickly urban and rural Texas alike can be brought to a standstill by water. Now, a short 13 years later, Hill Country life would once again be disrupted by a flood, only this time the loss in human lives significant. And we're talking about the 2015 Blanco River flood, which really affected the communities of Wimberley and San Marcos. Now, the event was part of a larger weather system that affected Texas and Oklahoma, which produced 75 tornadoes and widespread flooding. The Blanco River, which typically flows at about 93 cubic feet per second, it's a slow, great river in the normal times. You can bathe in it, you can sit in it, it's wonderful. Well, it experienced a record-breaking crest of 44.9 feet at Wimberley, with a peak flow of 175,000 cubic feet per second as a result on the night of May 23, 2015. Yes, it was another Memorial Day weekend flood, which we seem to have here a lot. And the Blanco River transformed into a wall of water. Fueled by nearly a foot of rain falling in the Hill Country, the river rose over 40 feet in just a few hours. In Wimberley, whole houses were lifted from their foundations and carried downstream like rafts, some with families still inside. There wasn't enough warning. There wasn't warning. It hit so fast. In Wimberley, the floodwaters rose more than 30 feet in less than 3 hours, overwhelming the Fisher Store Road Bridge and, again, sweeping away entire homes. The rapid rise of the water of the river left little time for residents to evacuate. Devastation was immense. In Wimberley alone, more than a dozen lives were lost, and the community was left to grapple with the aftermath. Bridges collapsed, trees snapped, and lives were swept away in the darkness. The floods claimed over more than a dozen lives and scarred the community forever. The 2015 flood underscored the region's vulnerability to flash flooding, which we've talked about. I've talked about in previous episodes, especially in areas with steep terrain. We are the hill country, and rapid runoff. We've paved a lot of places that didn't used to have pavement on them. In response now, communities like Wimberley have since implemented measures to include flood preparedness, including the installation of additional river gauges and enhanced early warning systems. It's another brutal reminder that Central Texas is Flash Flood Alley, where beauty and danger often flow side by side. Now, the 2002-2015 floods do serve as stark reminders of the power of nature and the importance of preparedness in flood-prone regions. Now, significant strides have been made in flood management and community resilience. The history of these events continues to shape the landscape and lives of all of us who call Central Texas home. Now, what's disturbing, there's a couple of things, is that the what used to be called the 100-year floods are happening much more frequently. And just this year, one of the most devastating floods took place here in Central Texas. That's in Kerrville and Central Texas 2025. Now, earlier in this message, in this, when I was talking about this, Wimberley, they've installed better warnings, early warnings. The Kerrville floods and the devastation happened there honestly seemed to take place because the politicians decided not to spend money on the early warning systems and the flood warnings. And so as a result, on July 4th of 2025, just this year, flash floods devastated Kerrville and surrounding hill country communities. Late on July 3rd, 2025, the remnant mid-level circulation of Atlantic Tropical Storm Barry became embedded with a broader mid-level trough already containing tropical East Pacific remnant moisture. This system developed into a massive thunderstorm, which did stall over Central Texas. Flooding began on the morning of July 4th, and that's after significant rainfall accumulated across the area. Six flash flood emergencies, which included the cities of Kerrville and Mason, were issued the same day. The Guadalupe River rose about 26 feet in 45 minutes. It surged an estimated 29 feet in the Hunt area, where more than 20 children were eventually declared missing from a summer camp. They had not installed the warnings. July 5th saw more flash flood warnings for the Lake Travis area, which is part of the Colorado River watershed. In a space of a few hours, the equivalent to 4 months' worth of rain fell across the Texas Hill Country region, with the highest rain totals being 20.33 inches. Over 135 people died in this flood. Why? Why was this devastation so great? The river did indeed rise quickly. However, Kerr County did not have a dedicated flood warning system despite prior proposals for local officials citing the area's high flood risk. For flood, National Flood Insurance Program purposes administered by FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, the floodplain or special flood hazard area is defined as the area that would be flooded by a base flood which has a 1% chance of being equal or exceeded in any given year. Again, remember I said the 100-year flood. Well, the 2000 Kerr County flood insurance rate map showed Camp Mystic, which has suffered an incredible amount of devastation and loss of life, young girls, children. It is a Christian girls' summer camp. And the 211, it showed it as being in a special flood hazard area. However, following various appeals from the camp, several buildings were removed from the hazard area as the camp continued to operate and expanded in and around the flood plain. In fact, between 2011 and 2020, FEMA redrew the 100-year flood map several times, following various appeals from the camp, removing some 30 buildings from the official flood hazard area as the camp continued to operate and expanded in and around the potentially dangerous flood plain. And the results were predictable. Everybody could have seen and should have seen, but they let profit get in the way of caution. Now, Kerr County was not the only area affected by the storm. Downstream, the river surge measured 27 feet in 45 minutes at Comfort. The river's rise was so swift that people did not have time to react. The city of Kerrville issued a disaster declaration on July 4th following the floods. In total, 5 feet 11 inches of rain fell on some areas that experienced significant flood effects. San Angelo in Tom Green County, which is north of Central Texas, recorded 15 inches of rainfall on July 4th. There, flooding of the Concho River compromised the city's wastewater system, causing 2 discharges, 1.6 million gallons and 67,000 gallons into the river. Local officials there estimated that over 12,100 structures were affected by the floods. In fact, flooding continued into July 5th with 2 more flash flood emergencies issued for areas around Lake Travis, which is northwest of Austin. Later, a 3rd flash flood emergency was issued for central Comal County, which is south of me and southeast of me, noting that local law enforcement reported flooding of the Guadalupe River. I've gone tubing in the Guadalupe River, and when it floods, it floods. About 20.33 inches of rain fell northwest of Streeter near Mason, which is west of where I am. Early on July 13th, torrential rain caused the Lampasas River, which is north of me, to quickly rise over 30 feet in 5 areas. A crest of 32.45 feet, just under a major flood stage, was recorded that morning near Kempner, which is to the east and north of me, up near an area called Fort Hood that you can find. Now, in the Highland Lakes area where I live, we have 5 lakes: Inks Lake, Lake Marble Falls, Lake LBJ, Lake Buchanan, Lake Travis, and Lake Austin. Those areas are all fed by the Colorado River, which in turn is fed by the Llano River, the San Saba River, the Pedernales River, and the Concho River. All of those rivers were affected by the rain that fell and caused such devastation. You know, we have to remember, Texas and Texans have always lived on the edge of disaster. Rivers can rise like walls. Skies can turn deadly in minutes. Coastlines open directly into one of the most volatile seas in the world, the Gulf of Mexico. Yet for every story of destruction, there's another of survival. From Galveston in 1900 to Kerrville in 2025, we Texans have been tested again and again, and each time we rebuild. The lessons written in water, wind, and fire have reshaped this state. The lessons live in the seawall that guards Galveston, the flood tunnels beneath San Antonio, the reservoirs that dot our landscape, and in the emergency alerts that now flash on every phone. But more than that, those lessons live in us, the people, farmers who have endured drought by sheer persistence, families who returned homes washed clean by flood, volunteers who launched boats into hurricane waters without hesitation. Disasters strip away illusions of control, but they also reveal something deeper, the stubborn hope that defines Texas and Texans. To tell the stories of these floods and tragedies is not simply to recount loss, but to honor resilience. It is to remember that while nature and chance will always strike, the spirit of a people is not so easily broken. When the waters recede and the dust settles, what remains is community, memory, and the will to face whatever comes next. That is the enduring legacy of Texas, and the reason why I felt necessary to tell these stories. This is The Hidden History of Texas. Thanks for joining me. Check out next episode. I think I'm going to kick a hornet's nest. Have a great one, y'all. Bye-bye. Peace.